This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
And sometimes Barnes.
I believe Barnes is on his way. He's training.
Of course he is.
He is training. Welcome to episode 160.
We've hit
the 160 mark.
And they said we'd never last past 154.
Very true. So welcome. We're going to talk boxing at the top of the hour. We have some of our neighbors, I would call them, other shows joining us that we're going to talk to from the Podcast Detroit Network. We're also going to have 313 Paranormal in the house. It's officially not October unless we have them in studio.
That's right. Our third year having them.
We probably had them on probably six or seven times. I was trying to do the math today, and because we kept such great records,
Also, math is not your strong suit.
I'm better at math than this.
Are we counting all the times that we did stuff with them, or just when we had them in studio?
What do you mean by did stuff?
Well, you know, when we did the investigation.
Well, I'm just saying, because I did some stuff with them that neither of us are proud of. Well, I was a little proud of it. I didn't think I could get my leg up that high, but I did, Liz.
I had faith in you, Marv. I did. Well, I had faith in you.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you there to lubricate and work the camera.
Fine, that is true.
Talk about EVPs. Hello, look out. Comedy.
So Jason and his crew will be coming. I believe he has three of his crew members coming, and we're going to see what's going on in the ghost hunting thing. The popularity of ghost hunting since we've had him on in 2 years.
Are we going to do a mini investigation here like we did at the crappy network?
Too nice of a building.
Yeah, it's too nice of a neighborhood
But I'm sure this is sitting on top of some kind of burial mound or something.
Isn't all of Detroit just one giant burial mound?
I'm saying, like, I mean, this is populated with Indians everywhere. Yeah, native peoples. So I'm sure we're on top of some kind of cemetery of...
Right.
Whatever. It's got to be, is all I'm saying.
So whether you believe or you don't believe, stay tuned. 313 Paranormal is going to be here and convincing you one way or the other by some evidence and by some of their stories. But we also will tell you of their event they got coming up. So if you don't believe and you want to check it out, or if you do believe and you want to be a part of an official ghost hunt, we've known Jason for a while. He's got the real equipment, and he knows what he's doing. Plus, we got Cody Stamen coming in, pro MMA. He's also pro boxer. Most people don't know this. Yeah. I was once at the Masonic Temple, and out came Cody Stamen strolling to a boxing ring. And he actually did well for not...
Was he from a boxing background? He was a wrestler and boxer, right?
Right.
Like, I believe, yes.
And was he just there and they were like, hey, Cody, you want to box?
I believe Carlos called him the night before.
It was essentially the same thing. Yeah.
But out of nowhere, you know, he came out, Darren came out, and he did really well. You know, I could see the decision maybe going his way. It was, pro boxer too. So
right,
give him credit for that.
Yep.
But... I was hoping Barnes would be here because I did want to start off talking a little bit about boxing, but we can introduce our guest. Everybody say hi.
Hey.
Hello.
maybe with a live mic.
Hello.
That's better.
Bueller.
Hey, now you stop. Rochelle is working the board for the first time all by herself tonight. So let's hear it for Rochelle.
Yay.
So any technical difficulties...
He's purposely clapping loud so she has to adjust it. Let's see how you do this. Yeah.
Any technical difficulties that occur are all Jimmy's fault.
So everybody introduce yourself. We'll go clockwise.
I'm Lucas from TheRackShow.com.
All right.
I'm a podcast here on Sunday nights between 7 and 9 p.m. live on Podcast Detroit.
What show were you from?
The Rack Show.
The Rack Show, okay.
Sort of a geek culture and lifestyle show.
Okay. Liz, we know who you are. Rochelle, we know who you are.
My name is Corey. I'm Lucas's babysitter, also known as his producer for The Rack Show.
Okay.
And I'm Mike. I host a show called The Top Review here on Podcast Detroit, which is on Sundays 6 to 7.
Okay.
So right before The Rack. And then I also do stuff with The Rack, so I'm wearing two hats.
And what is Top Rope Review about?
Top Rope Review, we discuss wrestling from WWE to indies to local, like XICW here in Detroit.
Right.
So we're all over the board.
Okay.
So we're still new, too.
So. We ask tough questions on the end.
That's right,
so
we do.
Here you are. Do more people believe wrestling's real or ghosts are real? Go.
Ghosts.
I don't know. If you would ask me that 10 years ago, I would have said wrestling, but probably ghosts now.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Well, I guess you have to define real on both sides, right?
Right.
Like, wrestling is real, but the outcome may be, the outcome may be determined.
Ghosts, but they still get messed up sometimes, you know?
Yeah, me and Jimmy got to sit in on the last maybe minute of the Top Rope, and then we came in with The Rack Show. And I learned more about wrestling, I think, in that 10 minutes than I did. You guys were telling us a little bit about the business, which was absolutely fantastic, and the behind the scenes and stuff. But let's talk The Rack Show first, and we'll go to Top Rope Review. You talk geek culture, which now, when I was growing up, you called yourself a geek. It wasn't good news.
Yeah.
But now it is like the popular
now it's
everything.
Cool.
Right.
Why should it be a bad thing that somebody's interested really a lot in something, whatever that is? So. We talk about, I guess our idea is Conrad and I are like a nerd and a geek. We're not really good ones. So we go out there and find what people are interested in about and ask questions.
Now you said that you and Conrad are both a nerd and a geek. What is the differentiation between a nerd and a geek?
There's a nerd, a geek, and a dork.
Okay. So define all three.
Dorks don't get laid.
Well, no, it's not
necessarily.
Actually,
because I've gotten laid.
The best
Mars,
way I explain
so,
I mean, it,
you're not a dork,
it differently,
though.
Is a foodie would be like a geek, somebody that's really a fan of food.
Okay.
They go out, they like to try different things. A nerd knows that they use an egg in a meringue because it creates an emulsion.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more academic. It goes a little bit deeper.
Okay.
And a dork is a nerd or a geek in training.
And Conrad's not. Conrad's not here. He's at his on-air gig in Port Huron. I don't remember what the call letters are, but
starts with a W.
WKRP.
I believe it's WBTI. If I'm wrong,
it is WBTI.
All right,
WPTI.
WBTI.
WBTI.
The way that Conrad explains it is a geek is heart over head, and a nerd is head over heart,
and a dork is
in training.
In training. Yeah. Okay, so we all agree that dork is a training.
Yeah,
okay. It's a geek or a nerd in training,
and it's not necessarily bad to be a dork, because we can all be dorks in different aspects.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Like, you're a dork technically in wrestling. You're learning about it until you geek out about it, or you can nerd out about it. But right now, you're just trying to figure it out.
We'll be waiting for that day.
I don't blame you.
Not going to hold my breath.
So, that's how we just... Everybody's loved inside the nerd geek realm, but...
Now, do you think, because we were talking about, or Brad said 10 years ago, if you called yourself a geek, that was not a good thing. Like, I remember growing up in if you were a nerd or a geek in school, that was a bad thing. That was an insult. Where now, it's actually the mainstream culture is nerd and geek culture.
Sure. I think you have to go back a little bit farther. You have to go back maybe 20 years. Because when I was in school, it was when I was in 15, it was still okay.
That was
coming out of it.
I turned that down.
Hello?
Still
too hot.
No, we're good.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm talking about is 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, yeah.
That's when I was in high school.
Okay. So, because now, I guess it was looked down upon that you get excited about something that everybody else might not have liked, whether that be... a big one in our culture is LARPing. People that go out and LARP.
Yeah, LARPs. Right.
And they find their own. So,
okay. Well, I guess my question was, do you think that it shifted because of people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, who became these highly, highly successful people that all of a sudden it became okay to be the geek or to be the nerd?
No, because you still got, you know, rich, huge athletes too. I think it really became that we are a society of technology now, and it's hard not to touch a piece of technology. And technology was one of the major indicators if you were a geek or a nerd back then, because they were, you know, they were really the guys that were on the cutting edge when it comes to electronics.
Right.
But everybody has a Facebook account now. But it was nerdy. Yeah. It was a nerdy thing to have, like a Friendster account back in the day.
Yeah, Friendster.
So,
oh, my God,
You're right? Yeah. So,
Liz, do you even know what Friendster is?
I don't think Liz even
knows.
Liz
has no idea what Friendster is.
Do you even know what MySpace is?
Yeah, I used to have one.
Okay. I wasn't sure if
when
you were
When you were
free.
Or Yahoo Profiles back in the day.
Oh, God.
Well, no, actually, AOL Chat.
AOL Chat.
AOL Chat.
I had an AOL, and I didn't know how to use it. I have such troubles, like, trying to, like, figure out stuff with online.
Well, the Rack Show's for you, then.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I'm so this bad with technology.
Come listen to us.
I'm not on.
Where are you?
Hello.
Hi. There we are. Another thing that we do on the Rack Show is we talk and meet with interesting people.
Okay.
A lot of very interesting people.
Define interesting people.
Like
Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem.
Wait, the voice actor?
Yeah.
He hangs out
with us. John St. John. Shout out to John St. John.
Yeah.
Tia Ballard, my personal favorite.
The guy who built the giant fighting robot.
Okay.
Oh,
sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's going to be versing Japan
next
year.
He's a good friend of ours.
Okay.
He's actually a local right here from Ferndale, guys.
Oh, wow.
The guy who did all the visual effects for Star Wars Episode 2, Harry Potter, and
probably
Watchmen,
the new episode.
A lot of other stuff, too.
Okay.
Probably the new one. He can't confirm nor deny it, so we're just going to assume he was part of it.
So we've met a lot of really cool people, and we've asked them questions about how they did it and why is it such a cool thing. But really, they talk about their geekdoms, too, what made them a geek back in the day when it wasn't cool to be a geek, because these guys are usually a lot older than us. Duke Nukem is a radio guy, just like one of us. That's what he does for a living. Different strokes, different folks, but it's all interesting to me.
So what are you a geek for?
I am a nerd. I'm the
nerd on the show. I'm sorry.
I'm the academic on the show. Conrad's the geek. That's sort of how they've branded us. So
do you have a nerd specialty?
Food. I don't know.
Okay.
Technology. Production work.
Okay.
My background's film, so I'm a really huge film.
Yeah, I'd say your geekdom would be film.
Yeah.
Cool.
Your nerddom would be film.
Yeah. And then
have you worked on many films?
Oh, yeah. I was on Transformers. I've been on plenty of Pure Michigan commercials.
Okay.
Quicken Loans.
Doing what?
I did a documentary here called Motor City Rising a few years ago.
Okay. As what? What was your capacity?
From everything. I mean, you start off as a PA, and then in the end, I was a line producer and production coordinator.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can we talk about what you own now? Because you just came from something. I don't know.
I actually can as of this week.
Okay, cool.
I now own I'm one of the co-owners to the Royal Oak Film Festival.
Sweet.
Which is
now
known as the Royal Star Film Festival. Me and a couple of associates now run and are on a board for the Royal Star Arts Institute, which is going to be putting this kind of stuff on.
Okay.
And we're also going to be announcing pretty soon, I guess I can announce it right now.
Yeah, you can.
It's something called FanMe, which is the Film and New Media Arts Expo.
Okay.
Sweet.
Which includes film, but it also includes exactly what we do, is podcasting. Mm-hmm. It includes blogging and YouTube.
So content creators.
Content creators, essentially.
Okay,
awesome.
And what we're going to do is going to be putting on different tracks if you're interested in film. I think MPI might be coming to the table and doing some things on film, training on film. We have a couple other people that are interested, but I'm hoping to ask all the podcasters for Podcast Detroit if they'd like to put on a workshop and teach people how to make a good podcast and
stuff like
that.
We can teach them how not.
Well, I was going to say,
So that's what we're going to be doing here in the future. It's October 13th of next year.
Okay, so a year from now.
Oh, yeah.
A year from today.
Yeah, a year from today. It takes a lot of work to put this huge festival on.
I'm sure it does.
And wait, so a year from today is the new media one, or is
all
the...
All of it.
It's all together.
It's going to be a huge weekend.
Okay.
We also have a teen competition where they can win scholarship money. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
How does one submit a film to the because I have some videos of Jimmy doing his exercise dancing And I would really like to submit that. I guess you would call it in the avant-garde category.
No, best new comedy.
Best new comedy.
You can go to our website right now.
I hate you. I hate you. You're cool.
Oh, thank you.
I love you guys.
I don't get that very often.
You go to royalstarfilmfestival.com, I believe, or you can go to our Facebook page under that same name and find out when we're going to be launching. We're using Film Freeway, if you guys are familiar with that. It's the other thing to Without a Box. So, yeah, check it out. We're gonna be taking submissions within the next 30 days, I believe.
Oh, all right, we are totally submitting those.
No,
videos.
You are not.
Yes,
we are.
I have to
not
watch everything
no.
you submit, just so you know.
Excellent.
No, we are not submitting those.
Yes, we are.
We are not. You have to get them first.
So we'll talk really quickly
not a problem.
About. We'll talk really quickly about Conrad, who's not here. But what does he bring to the table then?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not much. Yeah. No. Oh no. Conrad's actually. Conrad is.
He's the Liz of the group.
He's my best friend.
He's the Liz of the group.
Yeah, he's a pretty guy.
Wait. Was that an insult to Liz or was that an insult?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Is that an insult to Conrad? Because if you're insulting Liz, you're also insulting Conrad.
No, I'm saying he's the face.
Oh, he's the face.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not comparing. I'm just saying.
I hope he listens to this
episode. He's the face. Okay.
I really do.
Better not.
All right.
He's my best friend, so we just started talking into a microphone 3 years ago, and we're here now.
Yeah, and
so.
he's in radio
right
now. He's on air, so radio was his background, so it was really easy to get into it for him. And he's just very enthusiastic about everything. And,
I mean, I've met Conrad. How is radio his background? He looks like he's like 12.
He's 30.
That's why it's
really?
Background.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is
exactly I would have never background. Guessed that. I actually expected him to be like 19.
No, he's 30.
He's
wow.
30. He's
okay.
actually going to be 31.
So, yes, he is the face of the
group. He's going to be 31 in a week and a half.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Wow.
And he's the opposing view usually on the show, or like there's things that Conrad likes that I detest. So
okay.
Such as?
Power Rangers.
Wrestling.
Power Rangers?
Yeah. Pokemon.
Wait.
He's a big fan of like stuff from his childhood.
He's a fan.
Yeah, he's
Whereas
a big fan.
Whereas you are kind of a jerk.
Yeah, I'm kind of a jerk. So you put it right. Yeah, I'm kind of a jerk.
Fair enough.
It's just like I don't need Power Rangers.
But you need that balancing view when it comes to those things.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So when people walk up to you, I know you gave us a little bit about what the Rack Show is about, but how do you guys sell your show to somebody? Like, I mean, yeah, you're geek culture, but like, why should they tune in every week? What's the big reason?
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
No, absolutely. Don't listen.
Avoid it all costs.
Not,
absolutely, do not listen.
That
no,
is
do not,
not
listen. Download the podcast.
Exactly. No. I don't know. If you guys want to, I don't know how to answer this except for this one.
Really
it's really goofy. I've asked before, why do you guys listen to our show? Because it befuddles me. I don't know. I don't know if that happens to you. I'm just like, why do you listen to us? And the best answer I've ever heard is because we're Bert and Ernie.
Okay.
Okay.
And everybody wants to be friends with Bert and Ernie.
Right.
And this is the best way to get to us, I guess.
Hey,
and,
Bert.
We have a really I would say we have a pretty close connection with a lot of our fan base.
Yes, we okay. do. The great thing about the Rack Show is we do a lot more than produce entertainment. We form communities. And that's, I feel like, the biggest thing that we do is
yeah.
we want to create this community of content creators and people who love the content that they produce.
So we bring YouTubers in, and then we're doing YouTube stuff with them. With our sponsor, Second and Charles, who is a secondhand nerd and bookshop.
Up
in Auburn Hills.
Oh, goodness.
We go and host game days there, and we meet our fans there.
Okay.
So we're not just in the studio. We're going out, and we're saying, hey, come visit us. We want to talk
right.
to you. We want to hang out with you.
We want our fans to meet other fans. We also want them to meet our guests, and we want our guests to interact with each other and form those connections.
The idea behind these communities is something – it's actually a project that we've been trying to get up off the ground is we like to go and talk to high schoolers and tell them that they're not alone, that you can find a community out there that fits you.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not in your school. Sometimes it's at a convention, or sometimes it's being a fan of a podcast or a YouTube mm-hmm. video. But you can go geek out with somebody that's really excited about some obscure thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone when you do that. So
wow. Very cool.
That's sort of why we started yeah. out. We both had really rough high school lives, Conrad and I. Conrad's a little guy, and I was not the white guy in school.
What?
Yeah, in the country. I went to a country school way up north. So
wow. Because I here's the thing. It wasn't until you mentioned it. Now I can't help but see you as Ernie.
There you go. I am
Ernie. And
wait a second. I'm Bert.
No, you look like Ernie.
Which
though.
One's the? Which one's the?
Because he's like
orange.
The round and orange?
Yes.
Is that the round and orange
yes.
one?
Yes.
I am the round and orange one.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's Bert.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or that's Ernie, yep.
Yeah.
That's Ernie.
Yep. I'm
that's
the, Ernie. I'm the sort of messy whatever one. Yeah, that's me.
Well, I got to ask you guys this really quickly before we move on to Top Rope Review here. So you guys are into geek culture.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl's coming out on TV. You guys are well aware of this.
Supergirl.
Sure.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Oh. They're going against Gotham in the time slot. So
really?
Somebody's going down.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Because, I mean, I watch it on, who here watches live TV?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean,
yes.
I don't even
you know
what
what
days my shows are on anymore.
No.
I just go home on the day that I have off, the
yes.
one
right. and
night I have off. I'm like Hulu all
exactly.
night long.
Exactly.
But here's the problem with that is TV producers are not looking at the downloads yet.
Not true.
They're just looking at the Nissan.
Not true.
That's not true.
It's not true at all. That's
no,
not
I
true
have,
at all.
I know
then
of
why?
TV
then why are
downloads.
So many shows that have been downloaded and huge?
Arrested Development.
On the no, not Arrested Development, but why are so many shows that are big on the on-demand circuits getting cut because people aren't
like
watching it live?
Like what?
Because Firefly
I have to remember.
Cut. There's no good reason.
Well, no, but that was before. That
yeah,
was before.
This is the reason why, and I know a lot about it because I've worked in media, not just the radio, but also on TV. The people who own these TV corporations, they're much older generation, mm-hmm. and they don't really understand media streaming at all.
Right. So I'm
so
saying.
Either they evolve and they start looking at those numbers.
What
or
I'm saying
they
is, it,
seem,
it seems to be that they're not looking at those numbers.
And you know what? If they don't
upset.
Pick it up,
what,
you know
what show
who
of
will.
Yours got cut?
It's, that wasn't on my show. I just noticed that it was a very popular show for people that I knew
cut.
A lot of.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't see a lot of shows getting cut.
And the ones that did get cut that were very popular got picked up by Netflix.
That's what I was
exactly.
about to say.
And
well,
and
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, there's
yeah.
shows that are making other shows. There's Once Upon a Time, and then there's some kind of spinoff
yeah.
show to Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get one of my favorite shows, The Flash. It was a spinoff of Arrow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
absolutely.
Stand Arrow, but I love The Flash.
I love The Flash.
Oh, I love The Flash. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So,
we're in the golden age of TV right now. We're so lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many good. Such good programming
mm-hmm.
out there. So yeah, absolutely.
I disagree. Golden Girls in the '80s was pretty special.
Golden Girls will always have a
well,
special
you know
place
what?
In
right?
all of our hearts.
You know
though.
What? Well, now you can watch Golden Girls on Netflix.
That's
you
right.
can
all a million episodes.
All 1 million episodes.
Oh my! I wish there were a million episodes.
Well, we want
to
we'll
leave you alone in a room to yourself.
We want to say hi to Conrad. Conrad, I believe, requested that Liz wear a Tomb Raider outfit, and he's not
uh-huh.
even here. But
it looks
she's
good,
rocking.
Conrad.
That's all right though, because yeah. it helped me out a lot.
It really did,
like a lot.
She's absolutely rocking. In it, so but we want to bring in a Top Rope Review, and we'll still talk Rack Show too. But we're trying to mingle everybody.
Well,
in
really
here.
Quick before we move on, though, I want to let Jimmy know that. So my wife Tracy is sitting right here next to me, and she was going to kiss you full on the mouth when you said that you liked Flash, but then you said you hated Arrow, and now she wants to rip your still beating heart out and show it to
Sorry.
You before you die.
Sorry, I just first of all, now I don't like Green Arrow as a character. Never liked him. Never liked the character.
Having lived with this woman for 13 years, you need to quit while you're ahead.
But all I'm gonna say is, everybody who surrounds, I think it's what is it? Steve Amell is the
Stephen Amell is awesome.
Stephen, okay. Everybody who surrounds him are fantastic actors. He, not so much.
Oh God. Oh God.
Oh my God.
Okay.
All right.
Are
you serious?
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. No, moving on. Moving on.
No, I agree
moving
with
on.
His entire character is I'm a brooding
oh
emo kid
oh
who wears green.
Jimmy, I have to go home with her.
You're
I right. know. This
moving,
is payback, Marv.
Moving on.
This is payback, Marv. Hey,
Marvin, you're
so,
in between. You might want to move.
Yeah, so this rope show. Let's talk about the rope show.
Well, yeah, the segue would show. Be passionate fans for the Rack Show, passionate fans for wrestling. So the Top Rope Review. How'd this come about?
Top Rope Review, how did it come about? That's
I said,
that's
hey,
off Lucas' question.
Hey, I'm their producer. That's why.
Okay.
I said, hey, Mike, you want to do a wrestling show? He's like, yeah, with who? I'm like, we'll go get the people from Nerd Life Productions in Ann Arbor. And we got a guy from there. That's a podcast down there. And we slapped them together and started a show.
Magic.
So
magic.
We have Josh and Will, who are from Nerd Life Productions, and then Conrad, who's from The Rack. And we all got together, and we started a wrestling show. So we're only four episodes in, I believe, and we're just kind of really just revving up right now. So right now we're mainly focusing on WWE stuff just because that's what we're all constantly watching.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're growing, we're going to be starting to dive into more and more and more promotions, more of the indie stuff. When Lucha Underground comes back in January, I'm definitely going to be pushing my way to put that on the show.
When comes back?
Lucha Underground.
What's that?
Gesundheit?
Lucha Underground is, it had one season this year.
Okay.
It was a, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a all Lucha kind of Mexican style wrestling, but it's not like a wrestling show. It's more of a TV show with wrestling. So they have, like, people have died.
So it's like a soap opera with wrestling, which is already a soap opera?
No, because they've upped it.
Okay.
They've taken wrestling and the soap opera aspect of wrestling, and they've
pushed
it up.
You mentioned this, people have died, so they've, like, killed off characters?
They've killed off characters,
now,
yes.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like Sons of Anarchy, but with wrestling.
Yeah. They wrestle in this warehouse, and they have, like, these gold medallions, and if you collect all the gold medallions, you get immunity. So
immunity from what?
From apparently death. I don't know. I got to go back and rewatch the first half because I jumped in halfway in, okay. And I was like, "Oh, wow, this is crazy."
It's a live action video game. You're collecting gold coins or whatever.
I just say this sounds a lot like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Agreed. Yeah. And
I might actually watch this.
You should watch it. I think you'd like it.
Is it in? You said it was about luchador. So is it in Spanish and then English subtitles? Or
they have a lot of people from WWE who came over, like when they got fired or they left WWE. They'll come to this promotion just to work a little.
Oh, so it's a promotion.
It's a promotion. It's not like a TV show. This is a wrestling promotion.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
But okay. That's awesome. But there's like...
I know. That's why...
But they kick the storyline aspect up a notch. That's awesome.
They record their storylines two ways. One in English, one in Spanish. So they... It's out there.
And what is it called again?
It's called Lucha Underground.
Underground.
Now, if they die, can they come back in a couple episodes?
I don't know.
Their twin can. Don't you watch soap operas?
I'm sure they can.
Like The Undertaker, they can.
True enough.
It's only been one season, so we're not. Okay. No one's really sure what more they can do or what else they can do. I'm sure they can do a lot more, but we'll find out, in January. There's some crazy stuff.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know, is it a new way that wrestling's going, more storylines like that, you believe? Or?
I don't know. I think they just want to do something different.
Okay.
I think...
Distinguish themselves.
Yeah, I believe a couple guys got together and they're like, we love wrestling, we want to do wrestling, but we also want to not have another wrestling promotion. So they got some people who are involved more in TV, like the TV side of the production, and they got wrestlers, and they're like, what should we do? Let's make a TV show with wrestling in it and make it a wrestling promotion.
I love it. Okay. I think it's a great
idea.
No,
that's really cool. Every episode's like a movie, basically.
Okay.
So you guys might not believe this, but a small population of our fans, they like wrestling, and they found us around our fifth or sixth episode. Some independent promotions reached out to us and said that they liked the show. And so we realized we had some wrestling fans, even though we weren't covering wrestling. So we give, like, I think every seventh or eighth episode to, a wrestling show, or we would talk about it. And then luckily we met David Phillips from the station, and he hooked us up with XICW, and that kind of gave us, like, a concrete home for us to hang out with wrestling and wrestling fans. Before, there was other independent promotions and stuff, and we'd have them on and everything like that, but XICW is great. Are you going to go check out a show?
Oh, yeah, I plan on it pretty soon.
Crazy.
I used to go a lot when I was a kid.
Okay.
My dad used to take me, because I just used to be a big wrestling fan when I was a kid, and then I got out of wrestling, and I didn't know if the promotion still existed, and I've been wanting to go and go and go ever since I got back into wrestling and never had the chance.
Tell Dave to hook you up.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go a couple weeks ago, but it didn't work out. I did get to go a couple months ago, though.
Missed a great show.
I know. Dave was telling me. And so I finally got to go to one, and it was like I was a kid again. It was in a different venue, but it was still the same XICW, and it was great. And I'm very excited to jump back into the world of XICW, I guess you can say, And then with this, it just gives me more of a reason to. So I'm
Yeah, I'm just really curious. What venues were when you were a kid going to XICW?
When I was a kid, it was at the Ritz.
Okay,
and
still at the Ritz, yeah.
Yeah. But then when I previously went, it was at the Imperial House. So it was 10 steps above what the Ritz is.
My favorite part about them having them at the Imperial House is when there's a wedding going on next door.
Yes. Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
You'll like go out. We'll like go outside to like get some air or whatever, and they're like out taking pictures, and not 20 feet away, there's a man with his elbow on fire about to smash another man in the head.
Oh, it is awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Or when guests of the wedding like wander over and like, oh, we could let's go here, and then they like just they buy their ticket and wander into the wrestling show rather than be at their friend's wedding.
When I went a couple months ago, there was a UFC match right next door, so it was kind of like a big competition. It was you hear the wrestling pop, and then you hear the UFC pop, and it was kind of like
they should have just opened the wall between them
really
and said the hell with
just
it.
Had a double feature. It
absolutely,
been great.
But I want to ask you guys to do me a favor. Going back to Lucha Nacho, whatever
Lucha
that is.
Underground.
If
Nacho
you,
Libre.
If you guys ever have this Katrina lady on the show, please let me be on the show with you. Holy cow. Yeah. She has a
huge
big talent. She has a huge talent, I'll bet.
There's a lot like that on Lucha Underground.
Yes.
They're very talented over there.
Yeah, they are. Hello.
You know what used to be a cool thing, though, for wrestlers when they were popular female wrestlers was to get them into Playboy. Did you hear about Playboy's news today?
Oh, I
heard a little bit about it today.
News. Now they're going to be in doctor's offices.
Yeah.
I'm really? So upset. I'm so upset.
There's no more nudity in Playboy?
No more nudity.
No, they apparently they stopped on their website back in August.
Yeah.
No one noticed.
Yeah. Well, because porn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so, no one.
But that's what I was gonna say, but nobody goes to the Playboy porn website. They go to.
You know,
many
the
other
ones.
Different
but
kinds
it's
of
an institution.
For Playboy, I feel like you have to go to the magazines, and if you're going to do internet porn, you're going to go somewhere that's not Playboy.
Right.
Well
here's
absolutely.
The thing.
But
if Playboy and their magazine stops doing nudity, you might as well just call it Maxim. I mean, honestly.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking about this earlier. I think, like, to me, I think Maxim is not geared for us. I think Maxim is geared for someone a little bit younger. I think Playboy is going to try to walk the line between Maxim and like Esquire. They're going to try to be a little bit more
high class,
like high class, sophisticated than Maxim, but they're still going to have ladies in bikinis and stuff.
I was going to say is it now because
they said there will still be spread like pictorials,
right?
But they'll be like PG-13.
Okay, so like bras, panties,
probably bras, like you would see
lingerie,
in Maxim.
Okay,
but they're gonna try to focus more on like
essays.
Well, like essays back
like
to like investigative journalism.
Right.
They're
that's
gonna
sort of interesting.
So yeah, they're gonna talk more about like you know like cigars and liquors and you know stuff like that. Liquors, LIQUOR, as opposed to hustlers, liquors, LICKER.
Right.
So just it's going to be, there's going to be a woman in full lingerie and then like a blazer.
Yes,
a cigar,
absolutely.
And
yes.
A
yes.
Review on that.
Yes.
So it's like Victoria's Secret.
No, because it doesn't come to your house free.
Victoria's Secret is a catalog.
And also there'll be editorials and there will be essays.
Like that's
will
the
it
thing.
Come with coupons?
Yep. Well, the thing is, like back in the day, like Playboy was known for their reporting.
Absolutely.
Like yes, there were boobies in there too, but they were also known for their interviews, their reporting, and stuff like that. And then they kind of fell away because you know it was like it was a joke, right? Oh, I read it for the articles, but you don't. You read it for the boobies, and
you will read it.
And
for
when
the
somebody catches you flip to the article real quick and go, "Oh, this is very interesting."
Right.
Yeah, but really, you were just looking at her hootie hoo.
The other sad thing too is Ronda Rousey was probably 2 years away from being in it, so now we gotta never see that.
Yeah.
But Ronda Rousey also has
some
a boyfriend.
Website will pay her enough.
Well, but what this means though is we have to ruin Ronda Rousey's career so that she's reduced to doing porn and or hustler pictorials.
She has a boyfriend now. Bad marketing move.
Oh,
keep it a secret. She is officially dating Travis Brown, who is a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
Not a looker either.
No, he's not.
Not a looker at all. So not. Maybe she really does see something
Heart. Maybe Barnes and I actually have a chance.
Oh, I know Barnes was devastated. That's why he's probably not here.
Yeah, I know.
He can't get past
that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dude.
I look better than that guy.
Jimmy, you totally could have had Ronda Rousey, dude. Holy crap.
I'll tell you the truth. If I was in that press conference and she said that, I would think that's sarcasm and I wouldn't write it. And then I would try to confirm on a follow-up question. Like,
Except here's the thing. He's 6'7".
Okay.
Oh, so?
She likes tall dudes, obviously. Well, apparently. You're what, 5'7"? Like, he has a foot on you. Yeah, whatever. He has a foot on you, dude.
And then, Marv, last week we wanted to hit it before we brought in 313 Paranormal. You had some Back to the Future stuff.
Oh, crap. I forgot to write that up.
Oh, really?
Well,
I totally did.
Oh, well.
Do you remember what it was about?
Okay, so basically, I do remember what it was about. So there's a YouTube video out there, and I will get the link and post it up. A person took the Back to the Future, really 1 and 2, and and basically said that Back to the Future 1 and 2 predicted 9/11. Wow. Yeah, let that sink in for a second.
All right,
and it has a lot to do with, like, I'm not kidding. I'm not saying I believe it.
I didn't see this one coming.
Yeah.
They predicted Batman v Superman, so I'm on board.
That was no, hold on.
That was a legend.
They didn't predict that. That was in I Am Legend, and it was the same guy who directed that is directing Batman v Superman.
Oh,
yeah, he knew.
All right. Anyway, let's go back to this one.
All right. There's the video. So it starts with, like, there was Twin Pines Mall.
Right.
And
now there's only one pine.
And now there's only one pine. Well, where there used to be two towers, there's now just the one tower.
Okay.
I apologize for not having time to write this up because it would have made more sense. But if you get a chance to look at the video, like I said, I'll post it up. But it actually gets even deeper into, like, where there's a whole, like, larger film conspiracy, like, for the whole, like, film industry predicting 9/11 and, like, where we're headed. When Marty goes back, so when he's sent from 1955 back to 1985, you got the two flaming streaks that go up the road.
Right.
All right, making an 11, and off to the side, there's a sign. I don't remember what the shop is for, but it's the logo of the sign is a 9.
Okay.
And so it's like 9/11, and then the two streaks are on fire.
Right.
You know, and
I feel like that's stretching a little
bit. Yeah, I will grant you a lot of it is stretching, but if you watch the video, like I said, I don't necessarily believe it, but I was like, they're kind of making a point, it's... So Back to the Future predicted 9/11. And this gets a little weird, but when they're in the future, when they're in 2015,
in eight days,
yes, yep. The McFly family is watching a movie on their screen, uh-huh. which is a movie that has come out, and as it goes away, the image like rolls down, like wipes down,
uh-huh.
and so that's like the towers falling, because the image is the Twin Towers on the screen.
Oh, okay.
It's the Twin Towers on the screen, and then they're falling. Wow. But here's the one.
Just talk about transition.
All right, here's the one. Here's the one though that really blew my mind. Robert Zemeckis directed the Back to the Future movies.
Right.
He directed a movie that's coming out on October 21st,
okay.
which is the time It's about the guy that walked the tightrope across.
Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay. When Marty comes back to 1955 again,
uh-huh.
he is wearing the exact same outfit that the dude in the Twin Towers Walking the Tightrope movie is wearing when he walks across.
Having nothing to do with the same director and deciding, it'll be a fun little
Easter
egg.
But that's what they're saying, though, is that like Robert Zemeckis is part of this larger film conspiracy.
Okay.
That was,
we get a lot of these across
Lucas,
our
are you
desk.
Part of this film conspiracy?
Yeah, so we get a lot of these across our desk.
There it is.
There's the Toy Story one or the Pixar one, and this is how I feel.
Yep.
If you lock a guy up in his basement long enough with any film, he'll
say it predicts
signing. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
You can give him Snow White and lock him away for like 6 months, and he'll come out and say that's biblical.
Predicted this.
It's right. biblical, and it's the world's going to end in 7 days. So,
but what you can't predict, because the Cubs hadn't won in so many years.
Back
to the Future, coming out and saying the Cubs had
won the World Series.
Will win the World Series.
Yeah.
I saw that as crazy.
Me being a Cubs fan, this is a team that could win it. But I wanted to point some really interesting things that you guys might find pretty interesting. First off, the official start time for the first pitch when they were going against the Pittsburgh Pirates was 7:08, which in military time is 19:08, which is the last time the Cubs won the World Series.
Not showing it.
Okay. Also, the game was on October 7th, which was 10-7, which is 107 years away from when they won the last World Series. That's some deep stuff there. And they're a couple runs away from putting away the Cardinals as we speak. We got to go find it on cable out there. And it's going to be good stuff. So I props to Back to the Future. If that's what it takes to end this curse of the GOAT, I am all for Robert Zemeckis in Back to the Future.
Oh, that was the other one. That was the other one that I missed. So when you got the Twin Pines Mall, the time on the clock in front is 1:16 a.m. Flip that upside down. It is 9:11. Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, really quickly, Rack Show, how can people find you?
You go to therackshow.com. It's R-A-C-K, not W-R or whatever you guys are coming up with. It's therackshow.com. And you can check out our video production footage at VoxVii.com. And that's where we do all our YouTube stuff.
And awesome. If people are interested in the Top Rope Review, how do they find you?
We have Twitter and Facebook. It's all on Top Rope Review. And you can find us here on Podcast Detroit Network, Sundays 6 to 7.
Very cool. Right. And then, Conrad, you're missing Liz as Tomb Raider. You guys are more than welcome to stick around. We're going to bring in 313 Paranormal. These guys are real ghost hunters. If you guys want to stick around and add your 2 cents on a mic, that's very cool. Right. We're going to go to our first break.
I just got to throw it out. We're in the bottom of the eighth, and the Cubs are up 6-4.
I know. If we could only figure out how to work cable in here, we'll be good. Well. So we're going to go to our first music break and bring in 313 Paranormal.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And we're back.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, I guess we're back. Rochelle just gave me the little motion thing with the finger.
You guys aren't
listening
when I give you the time.
That's all right. You throw your hand right up in the air, make a five, and then count down slowly.
No, I just want them to pay attention better.
No, I paid attention. I heard 10 seconds.
And we're back.
We're back.
All right. This is wonderful. We're joined by 313 Paranormal Society.
You got it.
People always forget to say the society.
They do. Society tends to get dropped.
That is your full name.
It sure is.
So welcome, guys. We love having you here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It would not be October on the undercard without 313 Paranormal.
This is correct.
What's been going on, guys?
Oh, you know, same old out there hunting ghosts.
Yeah? Did you find any?
We sure did.
Have you trapped any?
No, we don't.
Do you have any? Do you have any ghost heads mounted on your walls?
Not yet.
No.
We're looking for the trophy, though.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, guys. I believe the studio might be haunted.
Okay.
Is there any way to check, like, right now?
Sorta. I don't have all the equipment that would be necessary, but
it's not like an app.
There's no app.
There is an app for it. There are ghost hunting apps. They're crap, but there are ghost hunting apps.
True.
So what do you have with you that week? Because traditionally we always do a little mini hunt whenever you guys are here.
We do, but the last time I was with you guys were in a much creepier place.
Well, I was explaining to these guys earlier that this whole area has to be an Indian burial ground or something like that. So there has to be something here.
What, Ferndale?
Yeah.
No, like Michigan.
Oh. Yeah, like this whole area. Like, so there has to be something here.
Ghosts are everywhere.
Exactly.
There's no boundaries. No, they go wherever they want to go.
But why do you think the studio is haunted?
My headphones were moving the other day.
Like, just moving?
Yeah, like I put them down somewhere and they were somewhere else.
And that was, you don't think it was like one of your buddies, like, messing with you?
Were you by yourself in here?
No.
Was it a troll?
I'm just making stuff up, guys.
I want to go on a ghost hunt.
What makes you think you're not on a ghost
hunt? It's good that you do. We have one coming up on Doubles Night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, the public is invited?
The public is invited.
I had no idea about this.
I have, if you check out our Facebook page, 313 Paranormal Society on Facebook, look us up. There's a flyer there and it has all the info you need right on there.
Does it cost money to be a part of this?
It does. But all the proceeds, it doesn't go in anyone's pocket. It goes to a great cause. Goes into the preservation of the old mill, which is located in Dundee, Michigan.
Now, is this just you guys hosting it, or is it? Well, there are other.
There's a group, SWPI. They do run normal public ghost hunts out of the building. Mm-hmm. They will be there to give a tour.
Okay.
But other than that, they're just going to sit back and they're going to let us do the hosting. And okay. What we'll do is we'll go around with everybody and we're going to investigate with everyone.
I have to ask you really quick.
Yeah.
After going on a ghost hunt, has anyone's life changed for the worst? Because I got a great example of this really quick. One of your ghost hunts, an undefeated boxer came out with us. And he got I don't believe he's won since.
No, I'm really?
Not even. Yeah, he's not. He's not kidding.
I'm not gonna name him because he's
I didn't realize that.
I know who you're talking about. But make sure that we're not in the same studio because I don't want him to.
No. He's a nice guy, but I don't think he's won since.
No, really?
No.
I don't think he has.
I do remember that.
You don't have anything to worry about because he was so spooked out. If he came at you, just be like, "Oh, what's that behind you?" And he would literally shit his pants and run because he was crazy.
What happened? He was pretty. Creepy.
I think the one that got him was when it wasn't necessarily like during the haunt itself. It was when we played, and it was when we were on the other side of the Russell, and we were in that little hallway right there. And you started playing the
spirit box,
yep. And we were picking up voices.
Like answering questions.
Yep, that's when
like direct questions.
Was it like mean, though, or was it like
No, it wasn't mean. No.
Come on. He was, you know, he's never experienced anything like that before, so... You know, Jason would ask a question,
no,
and
I'm
then
talking
like
about like the ghosts, like were they like responding like
no, no, yeah, no, it wasn't
like,
mean.
No, it was just like Jason would ask a question, and then like we'd listen for the spirit, and like it would answer back. You would hear an answer come back.
I thought it was so interesting the fact that here's this big tough guy. We're walking through some parts of the Russell that are pretty bad.
This is what
freaks him out because I'm like walking around going, "Where's the dead guy?"
Right, and like we brought him for protection. And
I know
that was the area where I stopped us, right?
Yes.
Where I thought I had heard something. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you and I went chasing the footsteps.
Yeah, that's right. We did. We went chasing the footsteps, and that's when we pulled out the spirit box.
Yeah, because we thought it was like real people there.
Right.
We thought there were like
I was gonna say like that should be like a segment ghost. Or crackhead.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were thinking.
And that's exactly what it was, is we were chasing them down to try to disprove that what we heard was an actual person, but there was nobody on that side of the restaurant.
I don't know, man. Those crackheads are sneaky. Yeah.
Well, but like we came around the corner, and like the only place for them to have gone was in the stairwell, and like we're like looking all up and down the stairwell. There's nobody there.
Nobody there.
But
when Jason pulled out the spirit box, that's when we... started to get the intelligent conversation. So
as intelligent as you can have with Jimmy.
When you chase them, does it like open a portal or something like where they like follow you and stuff?
It's possible.
You only open a portal if you stare into a mirror and say their name three times.
No, I thought if you like chase them, like something attaches to you, like they don't leave you alone.
It's possible. Yeah. It's one of the risks that you do run.
And you're gonna have to remind me on this. Was it shortly thereafter when we did the other investigation and I got scratches on my back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We had just done the investigation. We were in the studio talking about what we had experienced a couple days before. Was that the first one?
No,
that was the second one.
Yeah, that was the second one with the room.
But we were sitting in the studio at the old studio, and I started to get this warm feeling on my back, and it felt like there was something poking me from the chair. And they had, you know, some cruddy chairs or whatever, so I thought maybe there was like a staple or whatever. So I didn't think anything of it. I'm kind of wiggling around. And then we decided to do a quick little investigation again that night. And I'm just like, God, that just kind of hurts. And I lifted up my shirt, and there were giant scratch marks down the back, down my back. Mm-hmm. Like, serious, like, giant scratch
marks.
And
normally Jimmy pays extra for that. This just happened. I was so broke
at the time that I could not pay for that.
Yeah.
So I knew it had to be something not natural. Yeah. It wasn't Ling Mei this time.
So what have you guys done, I guess since last year, since we talked to you last, what are some of the good hunts that you guys have gone on since then?
Starting the beginning of this year, we went down to had an opportunity to go to Bobby Mackey's Music World.
I thought you were going to say Bobby McFerrin, and I was about to lose my shit, dude.
I'm not sure who's familiar with that, but it's supposedly one of the most haunted, it is the most haunted bar in the United States.
Where's that at?
It's in Wilder, Kentucky.
Okay.
It is. There's been numerous TV shows have been there. One of them refuses to ever go back.
Really?
And when I did go in February, I got to investigate with Nick Ruff, who was he's formerly on Ghost Adventures. Mm-hmm. So we all investigated together.
Cool.
And that was a really wild experience. I must say. Yeah. I really do.
What happened?
It was intense. What's the scariest thing you? Like happened to you down there?
At Bobby Mackey's, I didn't have a real scary moment, but my most scariest moment took place in Ohio at the Ohio State Reformatory. Hands down, it's the most profound paranormal experience I've ever had in my life.
Do tell.
Details.
We were, God rest his soul, one of our investigators who passed away over the weekend, it was him and I that were investigating together, and we were in solitary confinement. It was just him and I. We were trying to do an EVP session at the back end of solitary, where in that section of solitary is where a prison guard lost his life. Another prisoner somehow got loose and beat him to death and killed him. So we were trying to do an EVP session, and we kept hearing footsteps upstairs above us. So we called out thinking maybe somebody was up there moving around. We're like, hey, who's up there? And no response. And normally when you go on a hunt, if somebody calls out, oh, who's up there? I'm up here, So we called up again, who's up there? Because we could hear the footsteps walking around. And nobody was up there. So I was like, let's go, nobody answered. So I was like, let's go upstairs. Went upstairs. Phil, he was filming. He was video. So he started off down the hallway, started walking. And I was at the top of the stairs just snapping infrared digital photos. I'm clicking away, and all of a sudden I heard the footsteps again, and they got really, really fast. And then the best way I can describe it, like a shock wave, like a pulse of energy, and it went completely through me. I mean, I felt it, like every inch go right through me.
Like it ran through you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, not without a doubt. And I just, that's what, as a paranormal investigator, that's what you really want to happen. Because you're like, oh my God, you want to do a million things, but you don't think at the time when that happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Phil, where are you at? And he got off down into one of the rooms down the hallway a little bit. And I did not run. I did not run. Because it's so dark in there, you can't even see 6 inches in front of your face. But I did briskly walk.
And there is a very thin line between briskly walking
and
running.
I didn't really understand what happened, but I knew what happened. It happened so fast.
Did you hear the footsteps after?
No. I heard them come at me really fast. I felt the rush of energy, and then I felt it go through me and out the back.
And oh, man.
So I got off down. He was off in one of the rooms off to the side. I got down there, and I backed up into the room furthest away from the doorway with my back to the wall. And he's like, I've never seen you like this. What's going on? So I explained to him what just happened. And I could not stop my fingers from rubbing together. It was energy. And I couldn't stop. But it took me about 6 different tries to approach. I wanted to go back out there because I had a million questions I wanted to ask. And I'd approach the threshold of the door to go back out. And I was like, nope, I'd back up. Like something was out there I just didn't want any part of.
So you don't know if it was an older person, a kid, male, female?
I doubt it was a kid, but I mean, I don't know for sure. I mean, it could have been a kid, but it didn't feel like it wanted to harm me, but it definitely was messing with me.
Now, if I remember you telling this story the last time we had you on. Didn't you guys also get a weird picture in that same area, like a face
that,
or something?
Well, that was like a hand.
Hand. That's what it was, a hand.
It was a hand, and we tried debunking it the best we could. I have my own. We all kind of have our own theory about what it may be, but we just don't know what it is. But it does look like a dirty hand.
It absolutely looks like a.
And
yeah,
it's none of our hands.
Right.
So, that wasn't a different. That was over in the east cell block.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but that place will always have a special.
Yeah.
It'll always be special.
Well, I mean, it's like a. a ghost hunting mecca, right? I mean, everybody really wants to go.
Yeah, they
investigate.
Do the weekends there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ohio State Reformatory is definitely one of, I highly recommend if you get a chance to go.
Oh, I would love to, but you guys always go and don't tell me. Which is, again, why I'm starting 248 Paranormal. So what else has happened then, like, this year? So that happened before. Like, what are some big ones that happened this year?
Really quick, I got to interrupt, though. The Cubs have won. So we got to raise a quick toast to the Cubs passing the Cardinals.
And what record did they just break?
Okay, so that's the first time. This is great. The first time they've ever closed out a series in Wrigley, because they've not been in the World Series since 1945. It's the first time they've ever finished off a playoff series in Wrigley, and Wrigley's over 100 years old. So, I mean, awesome. And then they also broke really quickly yesterday. They hit 6 home runs in the game. That is a record that's never happened in the postseason for a team. Think about that. Baseball's been around for over 100 years, and they hit 6 home runs in breaking. So this is the year. But back to you. Just had to shout it out really quick. Go Cubs, go.
If I gave a single shit about baseball, that would be awesome. Anyway.
Right. So on to important
Yeah,
things.
Now on to yeah, good stuff.
As Brad leaves the room.
Yeah, see ya. Brad's just scared. He's scared of this stuff. All right, so cool stuff that's happened to you. Big things that happened to you this year.
Nothing really as a scare factor.
Well, doesn't have to be scary, but just like maybe some good evidence really you may cool have found.
We did come across some pretty good evidence. We captured some pretty good EVPs. We also, we did Bobby Mackey's in February. Then we went down to Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia. We did that in May. And I did bring, I think there's about 10 EVPs I brought with me for everyone to listen to.
Okay.
Some of them are pretty, they're open for discussion. Interpretation, right. Exactly.
Well, and you guys have set a high bar because we had that one at the, the two of them at the Russell a couple years ago where the one straight up like answered the question, how many people are here?
Yes.
And then there was just.
How many did it say?
I think it was eight.
It was
eight,
like eight. It answered the number of people that were standing in the room.
It did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so Jason asked how many people are here with us, and you hear this voice on the recorder say,
"I thought it was going to be like how many like ghosts."
The really freaky one is that scream.
Yeah.
Where like I think you said like give us a sign you're here or whatever, and you distinctly hear like a scream with an echo like the whole thing.
Do you ever ask them like how they passed or whatever? Like
sometimes it really depends, cuz it's kind of a I treat them with respect.
Like how do you know if they're like a good one or a bad one?
If they scratch your back, they're bad.
Here's the other thing too. Jason can.
Now, sometimes when they scratch you, it's not necessarily a demonic or even an evil or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a matter of them trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happens.
Do you think they're just like trying to get like their soul released? I don't know. As far as I know, because I used to watch like TV shows, I guess it's not like the same, but where they would say that their soul hasn't left the earth, so they like would they come to you guys to like?
They can because we're trying to communicate with them. So yeah, I mean they're looking for someone to pay attention to them, so to speak.
Like, have you ever done like one where they were like, try to find me type deal?
Like hide and seek, like where's Waldo?
No, not like that, but like a spirit trying to contact you, and then you just like. They take you someplace and you like find bones or something, and like that was
that can happen. That hasn't happened to me, but that like someone that would be like a psychic medium, someone along them lines.
Well, that's what I was gonna say is you have a sensitive on your team,
right?
Christy, right? And so when you were asking about good or bad or whatever, usually it's your sensitive that can kind of differentiate whether they're getting a bad feeling or a good feeling about whatever spirit or energy is in the area. That'll give you a key to what's going on.
Yeah. I want to hear these EVPs.
Well, yeah. I wanted to briefly say when we were at the Russell that one time and we were walking around after the show and we remember that throat sensation where we were being strangled.
Several people felt like
and
they were
Christy,
being choked.
I felt so bad because she really. I mean, I felt it, and I'm not a sensitive, and she was.
Yeah.
She is no Tracy. Well,
that was
is
that,
not sensitive.
That was the. that was the smoke one, right? where where everybody kind of, she felt like she was being choked by smoke.
No, this was the very first one, and then come to find out
that's right, the
gentleman, God rest his
soul. Yep.
He was, you know. I don't know if you want to tell the story, but I mean, the gentleman.
Someone had passed the day before. Yeah, you guys had done the.
And we didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know it at the time. We found out a couple days later.
Right. Was he strangled?
He committed suicide by hanging himself because they hadn't found him yet.
In the building next door.
Yeah, and he had done it. He had done it a couple days before the investigation, and they didn't find him for a couple days after.
So we were investigating while. He was there.
His physical body was there.
Right. And she was picking up on his energy.
Yeah, and it was more than just Christy, because I remember walking in that area, and I was just like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, like, I don't like this. It was a strong thing.
All right, let's move on to the EVPs.
Yeah, so let's hear these EVPs. Yes. So these were captured where again?
Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Well, you know those Pennsylvanians.
Why are there so many lunatic asylums in Pennsylvania? Are they just naturally... They have all kinds of videos on their YouTube page
that you can go check out. What is the YouTube page?
I don't remember.
Maybe you can answer that. What is your YouTube page?
It's 313 Paranormal on YouTube.
Just 313 Paranormal.
And tell everybody who you are, because Jason talked a lot and introduced himself, but you didn't introduce yourself.
I'm Dave. I'm an investigator, and I also do like our video work.
Nice. Okay. All right, cool.
All right.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Hi, Dave.
All right. So we're at the lunatic asylum, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, one of like 740 lunatic asylums in Pennsylvania.
Well, I mean, it is Pennsylvania.
No, I get it. I'm not saying that they don't need them. I'm just saying, like, every time it's like, well, where's that lunatic asylum you went to? Pennsylvania.
I just want to point out your best friend and my best friend both moved there.
Yeah, and they're nuts. They're both crazy.
Hence the point.
Yeah. So what do we got?
Okay. I don't want to say what the EVP says.
I want you guys to see how we do.
Can you tell us, like, what was going on at the time? Or?
You know what? I'm going to have to hear
it. Okay.
Okay. That's fine. All right. So let's see what we got. All right. And go. Can you tell those guys to be quiet out there?
Hey.
Thank you.
Well, okay, we'll do it again. Really?
That one's not coming through that well.
Okay.
No.
Let's move on to
another one. All right, do another one. All right, do another one.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Are we turning that up a little bit?
Jimmy, why are you ruining this?
I'm assuming the little girl's like.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Kenny? Was that like toward.
Was it the little girl?
Oh, okay. It sounded like a little girl or something, like a little whine or cry or something.
Turn them all up a little bit.
Well, I think we need to get that actually turned up.
I did turn it up.
Okay. Let's hear it again.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Kenny?
That towards the end?
Is that little girl?
I don't know. You know what? I mean, that doesn't even... That sounds like a totally different EVP.
Really?
Than what...
It doesn't coincide with what it says.
No.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, sounded to me like a little girl, like crying or weeping or, you know, like yelling or something.
All right,
let's do another one.
Okay. Did I say fuck you?
Oh. Language.
What was that?
Cursing, it cursed at you or something.
It's not coming through on this end, but we were just getting up on the floor and it came through as a
few. Yeah.
Can you play it again?
Try it one more time. We apologize for the language.
Let's say fuck you.
Do it again. I think I heard it.
I
Yeah. I say fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Totally.
That's with Jason.
What was that?
Wow. Vulgarity.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to
vulgar spirits. And so at that one, you guys were just like, had you asked anything?
No, we just got up on a floor.
Okay, so it just didn't. It was like, we don't really care to have
you. Yeah, we didn't even get a chance to set anything up yet. We were just getting there.
Yeah.
And
it was like, no.
F you.
Yeah.
F you. Get out of here.
Yeah. Get on out. He's like, you guys again, jeez.
All right, that's next one.
What do we got here?
Is that a cough? No.
Yeah, I heard that.
Was that, dude?
Is that a cough?
Oh, so that that sounded. I just thought that was a person coughing.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. Okay.
Can you close one of these doors for us, please?
I don't know why it's not coming through. I apologize for that. But
have you seen anything physical? Like, if you how you asked to close the door, have you ever seen, a door, physically slam?
I haven't seen a door slam myself, no.
Have you seen anything being, thrown or, anything?
Any objects moving?
Yeah, any physical?
No, I haven't.
I haven't. Yeah. Well, my brother and sister-in-law used to live in an old house in Monroe that was built, 1870, an old farmhouse. And this was 10 years ago, and I was house sitting for them. And as they're leaving, they're like, "Hey, feed the dogs, blah blah blah." And, oh, by the way, the house is haunted. I'm like, "Great, thanks." You're walking out the door. So I stayed there the entire week, and nothing was going on. And Marv comes and picks me up, and he's like, he's in the other room grabbing my luggage and everything, and he's like, "Hey, so how was it?" I'm like, "Nothing happened." And no sooner did those words come out of my mouth than I watched this little Eiffel Tower that they had on top of their console TV. Horizontally go across the room and hit the other wall. I was like, it is time to leave.
So you obviously never worked in the Webster House at the Village.
Oh,
she did, but as you're supposed to do when you walk in there, you say, good morning, Mr. Webster. See how we all know that? And when you leave, you say, good night, good night or good evening, Mr. Webster. Yes, yeah. So the Webster House at Griffith Village.
If you don't, Mr. Webster throws things at you.
Oh, yeah.
I learned that out the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. You have to say good morning to Mr. Webster when you go in the Webster House. If you're working, if you work at Greenfield Village and you go in the morning, you have to say good morning to him. Or I mean, it's good. You're in for it throughout the day.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of stories out of Greenfield Village, ghost stories and stuff like that.
I would love
to get you guys.
Oh, that would be awesome.
To get permission to go into some of those places.
That'd be awesome.
I'm working on getting them into the Masonic Temple.
Oh, are you? Oh, that'd be good.
Seeing what we can make happen.
I would love. I don't know who's in charge of the village
anymore.
The Masonic
Temple lets some crazy things happen in there.
Is true.
Well, I just told a story the other day.
I'll be there Saturday.
Oh yeah, this Saturday. Yeah. So I was in there one day. One evening actually, because I am a Mason. Taking over the world, all that stuff.
I'm the master of a Mason.
You are the master of a Mason. Yes, you are. I went into the bathroom on the fifth floor, and it's a long bathroom, but it's only wide enough for two stalls, right? And it's two stalls, two sinks, and then it's a long bathroom. So I go in, nobody else in there. I go in, I do my thing. As I'm finishing up, I hear footsteps come in, go into the stall next to me.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
And
so, goes into the stall next to me. As I'm opening the door of the stall I'm in and coming out, I hear the toilet flush. Well, I'm right there, right? I look, the stall door is open and there is nobody in there. And it's not they're old. It's not one of those motion sensor. These toilets were put in 1924. But yeah, it's flushed. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I came out, and that's the thing, even if let's say somebody had done it and then left, it's a long bathroom, so I would have seen them leaving. So when I came out, there was a couple guys standing down the hall a little bit, and I was like, hey, did anybody go in or out of there, and they're like, no, just you. I was like, oh,
Okay.
How many EVPs do we have left? Do we have any?
Oh, yeah, there's like four or five.
Okay, all right, let's play them, and then we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. Do you catch something every time you do like a hunt or whatever? Do you always catch something?
Tracy and I can answer that question. No. Well, I guess technically you could say the whole adventure itself when we went with you guys.
Yeah, true.
Capturing an event.
A lot of like known haunted places that we've been, we've caught, you know, if not any, you know, photographic or video, it's definitely EVPs. But we've done quite a few residentials where, you know, people believe that their house is haunted, which it may, very well
yes.
may be, which it very well
yes,
may be.
Believe it.
But, you know, we're only there for a few hours.
Right.
And, you know, these people live there. But
sure.
in the few hours of time that we were there, we wouldn't capture anything.
Sure.
Whether, you know, no EVP, no nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go back to the client and you explain that the best you can to them. Either, A, they're welcoming you to come on back, or B,
yeah.
they're basically saying you're garbage and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know this thing happened.
Or
yeah.
you know, another thing that you're running into now with residentials is some people trying to get out of leases.
And really?
Then they drag you into a whole court ordeal.
You're kidding.
It's yeah. So.
Well, yeah, because you have to, if your house is haunted, you have to list it when you're selling
well,
it. You have
well,
to list
some
it.
Well, some states. I don't think Michigan's one of those
no,
states.
No, Michigan is.
They
yeah.
don't got to tell you those things.
Okay.
Right,
my
but old
yeah.
house, you could find billions of things in there. You don't even need the stuff that you have. Like, you could sit there and hear things and feel
She's
things.
She's told me so many stories.
Swear.
That, like,
yeah.
my,
the
swear. And my grandma's house right. next door. My house was actually in Trenton on top of an old graveyard.
An Indian burial mound. What did I say?
Listen,
what
it's
did
all
I
Michigan.
Say?
No,
it's all in Michigan.
And this Green Museum, it's not really like a it looks like a house, but that used to be like where they like get them ready to be buried. And they dug up everything and moved it, and I think that's like kind of like the worst thing to like dig up the dead. But my house and my grandma's house that lived next door, they actually dug up the basements and found urns. And my grandpa, when he was doing theirs, they didn't know what it was, so he was just like taking them and dumping them out. Like,
oh no!
And
do you want poltergeists? Because that's how you get poltergeists.
Wow.
That's what
I told her. My grandma's, yeah. my grandma and grandpa's house was actually picked up from a park and moved to where it's at right now. And I've personally only seen it once, and it scared me so bad. My little cousin was actually living there at the time, and me and my other cousin were like watching TV and. We were just chatting, and we looked over at the kitchen table in the other room, and we seen a little boy, and we thought it was him. And we said his name. He didn't respond. I looked back at her, looked back. It was gone. Told my grandma about it the next day. She's like, oh, yeah, it's just a little boy in the back room. And apparently the back part of her house got burnt when it was in the park, and the little boy died.
Mm. Oh, geez.
So, like, he could very well be
yeah.
trapped.
Yeah.
She, I don't know. I thought she was, like, weird. Like, my grandma was, like, psycho for a minute. She says, like, oh, yeah, when I'm down in the basement, like, we sit there and we talk. And I'm like, that's not normal.
Oh,
like,
geez.
That's not
yeah.
normal.
On that note, let's,
yeah,
actually,
let's
on,
put,
the, on that note, let's
yep.
take our break, and we'll come back and play the other EVPs and talk more
yeah.
with 313 Paranormal.
And then we got, coming up, we got Cody Stamens. We're going to talk our movie lists for
yep.
this week. And we'll continue
so
talking.
We've got a show's worth of material
That's
to get
right.
through in a half hour.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
All right, we're back. We got 313 Paranormal. We're going to finish up a couple of the EVPs here. So we heard a couple of the EVPs. And you say we got about four more that we're going to try to hit?
Four or five.
About four
like
or five, and then we'll
Maybe
talk about
six.
A little bit, and then we'll move on. So let's hit the next one and see what we got.
All right, everyone quiet?
I don't
yeah,
think that's an EVP.
Yeah.
So I think what we got there is a, what are those called? The Mexican, the bands.
Maracas?
No. The Mexican bands, the ones that...
Mariachi?
Mariachi band. I think we got a mariachi.
All right.
Ready? Yep.
That would be Squirrel Nut Zippers.
But it's a good tune.
In the afterlife, we'd be headed for the serious drive.
All right. Third time's a charm.
Oh,
Well, I had it, but no one was listening.
Ooh.
What is it?
Try that again.
Yeah.
Is it singing?
No, it sounds like
F that.
Well, it sounds like
no, no, hold on. Do it one more. Don't say anything. Yeah. I want to hear it again.
It sounds like a bell.
Well, there was an EMF detector that you were hearing, a REM pod going off.
Okay. And then the voice. Yeah.
One more time.
One more time.
Sounded to me like goodbye, or
it's hard to decipher.
I want
to
say,
but it's drawn out. It's like goodbye.
Well, actually, it sounds like you got me.
What?
No,
I love hearing what everyone thinks. That's why I don't want to say what it is until everyone says. But what I got out of it on my end was just following around with you.
One more time. Okay.
It's hard.
Yeah,
I know, right? Once somebody says it, your mind starts to.
Well, they've done studies on that. Where it's just noise,
right.
And then they'll tell you like, oh, we think it said this, and then people are like, oh yeah, that's definitely what it said.
It's a female's voice,
it definitely sounded female. Yeah. And when now that you've said that, like I didn't necessarily hear that whole thing, but I definitely heard like follow or.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah,
it sounded like
you follow me.
I think she sounds hot.
You're not even
Yeah. What's the matter, Stamen? You've nailed everything that's alive, so now you got to go to dead ones too?
I mean, you follow me? Yeah, maybe.
Okay, next one.
All right, next one.
Yeah, that one's probably not going to come through really good quality wise, but that was basically footsteps.
Okay.
That was Hurt Me.
Oh, that one was Hurt Me.
Oh, so singing a Nine Inch Nails song? One more time.
Can't hear it.
All right, move on.
Is this the last one? Okay.
This should be a couple more.
Okay.
Then
are you still here?
Sounds like footsteps. Yeah, that was Brad.
Something like hit the. Oh.
That was Brad picking up his earpiece.
All right.
Yeah, do it again.
Are you still here?
It sounds like knocking or footsteps or something.
Yeah.
My vision's horrible. Yeah, footsteps pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait.
Okay.
Say that again.
Hold on. What?
Say that again.
Oh.
I can't really tell.
But, yeah. I heard it. What is it?
What does it say?
It's a woman's moan.
Do it again.
Oh. Is there only just a couple of little seconds, like fragments that are playing out of that whole EVP?
Yeah,
it's not playing the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
It says it's 7 seconds, and it plays like 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
But I can hear it in the back.
Huh.
It's like it sounds like it's down a hall.
Okay.
Interesting.
You want to play it one more
time? Yeah, one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that, but it's kind of like cut
it's
off.
It's way in the back. Yeah.
It should be about a 12-second.
Oh, okay.
You know, long, but for whatever reason, we're only getting like 3-4 seconds.
Huh. Technology. Weird.
Yeah, you love technology.
All right.
So tell us, what do you got coming up? You got any investigations?
We do. We have a public investigation where the public can come out and investigate alongside of us at the Old Mill in Dundee, Michigan.
Okay.
It's coming up on Devil's Night. They, you know, in theory, they say the veil's the thinnest on that night. Mm-hmm. So
it's true. They do say,
you know,
that.
It's and from what we hear, the mill's been very active of lately, so we're going to put that to the test. Visit our Facebook page, 313 Paranormal Society, and you can find the details there.
Awesome.
So,
all right. So, Devil's Night.
I'll be there.
They can register for the public hunt through the the Facebook page.
Yep, PayPal. Yep, there's a link there, and if you have any problems, feel free to leave us a message there, and we'll take care of it.
Cool. And join us next week, right, Jason?
Absolutely.
All right, sweet.
We'll come back here next
week. Absolutely. And as we can say, we have all investigated with 313 Paranormal. If you've never done it before, you will learn a lot. It will be a good time, but. You know, very, very professional, very good at what they do. So, if it's your first experience, I would recommend doing it with these guys. So, come on out to that public haunt.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. So, everybody that was waiting for Cody Stamen, we have him in studio now. He's fresh from training. He's got a fight down
fresh
in.
Fresh from training.
That's what
he sure is.
That's fresh what that smell is. Thank
That's why
goodness.
He's way over there.
Wow. Nothing fresh about me over here.
Holy cow! I thought Liz was farting again, which we know she does.
Never know.
Cody's fighting on October 24th versus Chris Dunn at the Michiana Fight League. It's their 39th event in Indiana. If anyone has watched his career, he's 8-1. Of course, his one decision we've all bitched about here at the undercard because it was a split decision loss on August 15th, 2014. But everybody that's watched the fight thinks Cody's won it. He handled it with class, though, after a while. So it is what it is, Cody, and welcome back to the show.
Well, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
You guys upgraded.
Didn't we though? Yeah.
It's good to see that you are still carrying around your trademark giant water jug.
Yes.
I have never seen Cody Stamen without his giant water jug.
I drink a lot.
So
of
that's
water.
Awesome.
That's good.
Good. That's 11 days till the big till
this
the big
is crunch
fight,
time. So tell us what's going through your training camp right now.
Well, I'm kind of wrapping up all the real hard stuff, you know, all the real hard training, all the sparring. Getting more into just focusing on making weight and drilling. It's, you know, all the hard work's kind of over, and I just got to kind of heal up because, you know, you beat on your body for 6-8 weeks straight. You need that last week to just concentrate on making weight and, you know, being fresh coming in the cage. I mean, obviously nobody goes into a fight 100%. Every single guy you see fight has some kind of injury, something's going on. But, you know, I'm pretty lucky. I don't have anything. Yeah. Knock on wood.
What do you fight at?
This fight's at 135. That's a weight class. I haven't made in a long time. Another reason why I'm drinking all this water.
I think I was 11 the last time I weighed 135.
Yeah, me too.
I'm right with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And 11 might even be stretching it.
Yeah. I mean, I came out of basic training at 175. So I mean,
yeah.
And that was like the best I've ever been.
Well, I'm not really a big dude though. I mean,
yeah.
I'll fight.
Yeah, but still, we still all know not to look you in the eye. So.
Not at the bar, right?
Exactly. Do not look him in the eye.
Tell us a little bit about your opponent, Chris Dunn. I know you can hang with the big boys. We were talking out there, and I say this to everybody. Everyone always asks, how can you tell when somebody is at that level? I compare it to looking at a car on a freeway. When a car goes by at 60 miles per hour and a car goes at 40, you know a car that goes by at 60. I've always thought you have the talent to make it to the top levels. What is Chris Dunn? Is he a stepping stone? Is he a challenge? What is this fight?
He's a challenge. You know, I don't really know a ton about the guy. I know he's either from Iowa or Ohio. I try not to look too much into the guy I'm fighting and focus more on myself. But I definitely know he's really good on his feet, pretty athletic dude, taller than me. He's fought some big name guys, so he's no stranger to a big fight. So I know he's going to be ready to fight. But, you know, these are the kinds of guys I need to beat, you know, to make it to the next level. He's a guy I definitely can't look past, and you know, I've been working my butt off getting ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and where is this happening at?
South Bend, Indiana.
All right.
I've been there. There's not much to do, so MMA, go check it out.
Yeah, it should be.
There is not much to do when Notre Dame's in season.
Jay's Bar.
Yeah, there's a nice little like bar scene down there.
It's because that's all there is to do
Curly's
there.
Curly's where they shot Rudy's. We went one night.
Yes.
So you got to celebrate at Curly's.
Yeah,
but other than that. I don't know.
That might be the name of the bar. We went down there for another,
it's on a corner. It's really nice inside.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like a, there's like a wooden bar
yeah.
in the middle. Yeah. We went, yeah. Derek Mandel yep, fought it. Down there.
It's so, cool last time we seen you, you've done a lot since then. You've been in Vegas. You trained in Vegas. You're now training on the west side of the state, but you came back to train with Michigan Top Team. Explain to us this year what's been going on. What'd you discover in Vegas? What have you discovered working with different camps?
Yeah, Las Vegas is an awesome experience. You know, I went out there to just kind of get out of my comfort zone and, you know, test my mettle against some other guys from one of the biggest gyms in the nation. Extreme Couture. It was an awesome learning experience. I got with some really good coaches, learned some new stuff, kind of grew a lot as a fighter and as a person, you know, just being, you know, that far out of my comfort zone, not really knowing anyone going there. You know, I didn't have any distractions. The only thing I had to do was train. Then I came back for the summer to work, and, you know, I got this phone call, you know, 10 weeks ago about this fight, and my whole life, it just kind of flipped upside down, and I've been back in Detroit just because that's what I know, that's what I'm comfortable with, and I felt like, you know, my training partners and all the guys at Michigan Top Team could definitely, you know, get me prepared for this fight. So I did basically this whole fight camp. I've been here in Detroit preparing, and it's gone really, really well. I'm really excited to get back in there and beat somebody up.
Now, you said no distraction in Vegas. Let me just – no distractions in Vegas?
Like none?
Like,
none? That's a
Vegas is a dangerous place.
I know exactly, yeah. Dude.
Vegas is a really dangerous place. Like, everyone I was – like, I had a pretty nice condo there, and, like, a lot of the guys I was talking to were, like, ex-drug addicts, ex-gambling, you know. I was like, hey, man, you know, how are you? He's like, yeah, I'm good, you know. I've been clean for a while.
This is not
a conversation I would have with someone in Michigan. Like, he's like confessing to me, I haven't been in the casino in 2 weeks, man. I've been doing really, really good. But if you want to go, I'll go with you.
If you got 20 I can borrow, he's we'll
like,
go.
He's yeah. like, I swear to you, I won't go. Bet me, dude. Bet me. Bet me. I won't go. Bet me.
Exactly. There's some different creatures in Vegas. And then there's a ton of, like, I bought a crotch rocket out there, and
to be clear, that is a motorcycle, not a type of prostitute.
Well,
just to actually, be perfectly clear,
actually, it'd be both.
In Vegas, it's both.
Yeah, I know that's what I'm saying. I meant what he bought was a motorcycle.
No, actually,
not
I think,
the prostitute.
I think it was both.
Oh, was it like a 2-for-1?
Yeah.
Buy a crotch rocket, get a crotch rocket?
It came with it.
Yo, it came all right. It sure did.
Oh my god!
But like,
wing, wing, wing.
But everybody in Las Vegas is like lost. You know, everyone's a tourist, like taking pictures out their window.
Exactly.
Like, I got hit twice when I was on my bike, and I was like, "All right, I'm done."
What?
I'm done.
Like by other vehicles?
Other vehicles.
Oh, because they're not paying attention.
Yeah,
to
they're
road.
Not paying
like
attention.
Like how?
I got rear-ended. I was like on a motorcycle. I turned. I like felt like a little nut, and I turned around. I'm at a stoplight, and I'm like, "Are you serious, dude?" And he's not even looking. He didn't even know he hit me. Like, I got off my bike and was ready to beat the crap out of this dude. And he looks up and he's like, this little Asian guy. And like, I got my helmet off. Like, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? And he's just like, I'm so sorry. Like, put your phone down, you little.
Little what? What was that? Yeah. By the way, thank you for saying that he didn't say, oh, so sorry. I mean, thank you for saying. Thank you for not saying that.
I wanted to, but. People frown on that.
I would actually. Here's the thing. I would love to have been like the bystander to see that.
Yeah.
Like, especially if Cody and whoop this dude's ass.
Yeah, I know.
Because I mean, no offense
you know
to Cody, but
all
but
over
you're
YouTube.
You're not like you've said before. You're not necessarily a big guy.
Right.
But you know you can take care of business. So to bump dude on a motorcycle, Cody gets off. He's like, "Come on, dude." It's like, "Yeah, whatever. I got this." Yeah, hold on a second, babe. I'm just gonna whoop this guy's ass real quick. Yeah. And then like next thing you know, is he's waking up in the hospital. Like what? I remember hitting a little guy on a bike.
So
I would love to watch that.
Besides the tourist aspect, though, it is the MMA capital of the world. So would you learn going against, like, the top-level competition? I mean, that's the 1% out there.
Yeah, I learned that I can make it. I just got to stay focused and, you know, not be at the strip club all day. Like some of the guys I was living
not
with.
Not be on your crotch rocket.
Exactly. Either exactly. Or.
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, it was a big confidence boost for me going out there and, you know, doing well against, you know, some guys that I've watched fight on TV and... You know, just getting some teaching, some you know, you know, good job, like, you, dude, you're really tough, from a guy that you look up to, it
you
does
see
a lot
the light
for your
at the
confidence.
End of the tunnel.
Exactly, right. Exactly. You're yeah. like, man, I have, you know, I've been working my butt off, sacrificing a lot for a long time, and, like, I actually am getting somewhere. That's definitely, that was definitely worth it. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
So is 135 a one-time thing, or is this
no,
where you're looking to be?
That's where I need to be. That's another thing I realized while I was in Vegas. Like, I would go, I would spar or wrestle with a guy, and I'd be like, what weight are you? And this dude's clearly 20 pounds heavier than me. He's like, oh, I'm a 45-pounder. I'm like, ooh, I need to get on a diet because I can't. Those guys are just too big. I mean, okay. Like, I fought Ruben and Jeremy Zarnecki, and, like, I would stand next to him. I'll be honest with you, when I fought Ruben, we were, like, doing the stare down right before the fight, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, this guy's huge. Look at the size of this dude. I'm not gonna have to fight him, do I? You know.
If you didn't catch us way back in the day, we had Ruben and you on Fight Week. Javier arranged it, and you were the politest guy because, like, I kept trying to get
you. You were trying to goad us.
Oh, that's right. Brad was so upset.
Yeah, take the caller. We got a caller for you, Cody.
Oh, jeez.
Brad, he's like, I'm trying to get these guys to go at it.
Hello,
but they won't.
Welcome to the undercard. Who we have?
This is Pierre Price.
Hi.
And hi. Who's this?
You're on the undercard.
You're on the undercard, or were you trying to get a hold of Domino's?
Actually, we're trying to get a hold of for a radio show.
Yeah, this is us. This is the undercard. What's up?
Yeah,
okay, so settle down. Use your words.
376 or something?
I don't know. We got to end this phone call and continue with Cody.
Thanks for trying, though.
All right.
Call back in like 25 minutes.
So we had Ruben on one end, and I'm getting it going with Ruben, and then Cody, you're so polite. Cody, you're so polite, and you're just like, yeah, and everything. And every time I'm trying to get you were so focused.
Going.
But you took care of business, dude.
You were trying to go to. I mean, I did tell him that. I was like, I looked right at him. I was like, I'm gonna beat you this weekend. And that was that was the only rude. How you can't be mean to a guy like Ruben? He's like the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
Well, you were so both nice. Very nice. But before the show, Brad was like, "This is gonna be great. I'm gonna really get him going. They might fight right there in the studio." And it was totally not
you put James Gray in this seat here, and I will literally strangle him with this microphone cord.
Two were friends.
He's a nice guy, but I mean, as a fighter,
Cody doesn't like nice guys.
Yeah, as a fighter, I mean, I'd still like to, you know, whoop him.
Well, you fought Ruben Bariak, and he's fighting Brandon McLaughlin over. Yep. And who do you like in that fight? Yep. I mean, because Ruben's chin's been exposed.
Yeah. I had some time off too, though. I would like to see Ruben. I don't really know this McLaughlin kid that much. I mean, he did really well against Jamie, right? We're talking about the same guy.
Yep.
He did really well against Jamie, but he's more of a wrestler, and Ruben is a stud. He's a really, really tough dude. I don't really see that McLaughlin kid beating Ruben in a
I think
a
it's a tough
match.
Fight for both of them.
Yeah,
I really do.
I think it's gonna be whoever comes out and is the better wrestler is probably gonna be the one that you know takes the show. I wouldn't want to bet on that fight, but I think Ruben will probably win just because he's a little more weathered than that other kid there.
Now, I got to ask you, too. You were very anti-Michigan and said you would never fight Michigan, and you did take a fight in Michigan. Is the anger still there for Michigan, or are you looking to travel the states like you did for this fight?
The thing about Michigan is we're so far behind. Like, our athletic commission has no idea. Like, they don't know the first thing about MMA. I mean, they know a ton about boxing. They promoted some huge boxing shows, and they do a great job. But these guys are pro boxing, and they there's not one guy on that board that could go into a cage and knows anything about MMA. So it's kind of hard if the guys that are regulating the sport know nothing about it, and they know nothing about the politics and who's doing what. You know, you can't have guys that work at different gyms also judging professional fights, for or against, the guys that are on the show. It doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't do that. And in boxing, you would know, okay, I'm not going to put the head trainer of this gym as the judge for, all the guys that are on his team. You just wouldn't do that because, these guys, they know everyone. They're connected. They're well-connected. And in MMA, No one knows anything. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, I still remember like the passion that you had about amateur MMA in the state of Michigan and how like some guys just don't take it seriously. Do you see a change?
No, there's
since
no
you've
change.
Come back.
There, no, there's absolutely exactly. not. Absolutely no change.
I just wanted to, put it out there.
I just don't like to see these young kids like go into a show, like guys on my team too. It's you know, because Michigan Top Team, you know, I was one of the founders, so we had like, you know, all the guys that were on our team were like my little brother, and I, like, we tried to take care of them, and we all, Darren, Jason, myself, all kind of looked at it the same way, like, we want to make sure these guys are taken care of, and I was really passionate about it because I'd seen, you know, I'd been on the bad end of that, I got a cut in one of my early fights, and if I didn't have health insurance, it would have cost me, you know, would have been a $3,000 bill.
Oh my
gosh. You know, and some of these kids they don't have insurance. They're going into these fights. The promoters making a bunch of money. They get all busted up, send them on their way, and you know now they can't work. They're all busted up. And they got all these doctor bills, and their whole life just gets, you know, thrown it's upside terrible, down. Man. And it's because there's no one regulating it. It really is. It's like basically an underground fight series, but it's not underground. Everyone knows about it.
Now, you're, like, one of the nicest guys, too, in MMA, and that, you know, it's one of those things where when you're...
I don't know about that.
No, but. You are. You, like, I mean, maybe away from me, you seem like a... But you seem like a pretty nice guy. And anything that Conor McGregor or any of these new people, the Ronda Rousey, this bad fucking attitude that people buy into, it's almost like an act. It's a little bit of pro wrestling. Yeah. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and try to get, like, a little persona going? Because it sells. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, I've done my fair share of shit talking. I don't know if you guys are on World of Fighters. But,
oh yeah.
I mean, I've had some words with some of those guys, the Cuppy brothers and James Gray, some guys that I think are kind of their head is a little bigger than what they are. Unless there's like something, there's like a lucrative reason for me to, you know, attack somebody, I'm not gonna, you know, like these guys, you know, they're in a position like Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey are in a position where like, if they shit talk, they make more money, and it makes perfect sense. Like, if I'm in that situation, I'm going to do the same thing. Like, let's be honest. Like, we're not fighting. I'm not fighting, I'm not fighting a war. I'm fighting for money. Like, if I call so-and-so a fuckboy, if that's going to get me, an extra couple hundred grand, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, there's no question. It makes perfect sense.
Hey, I can be your PR guy. I'll just tell you. I'll feed you lines all day. I'll be like, this guy doesn't deserve to be in the cage with you. And you just throw it out there and do everything.
He's a bum.
You're a bum.
You got a close relationship with Darren. What did you learn from Darren's rise in UFC and stuff? Like, have you taken any of that? I mean, because you've had a unique situation from outside of Vegas and outside of some of the bigger camps in which you had a guy that is there. So, like, what did you learn?
I learned the main thing from Darren I learned was just being consistent and working your butt off. Like, you know, when I met Darren, he was in the exact same position that I am now. He was just, no one really knew who he was, but he was in the gym every day, sacrificing every day, working his butt off behind closed doors, and, you know, it paid off for him. Like, there's no secret. Like, when I went to Team Alpha Male, like, the best guys in the gym were in the gym every day. Like, there's really no... There's no magic pill. There's nothing. You can't cheat. You can't cheat the grind. Like, you have to just work your butt off. And if you do, you'll end up where you want to be. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that I learned from Darren. I also learned that, you know, being flashy and being exciting, that's what people want to see. And that's what's going to get you where you want to go. Like, you can't be that wrestler that lays on somebody for 15 minutes and, you know, makes love and kisses a guy. And, you know, grinds out decisions. Like, you got to be flashy, explosive. You got to go out there and work for a finish the whole fight, because that's what fans want to see. And, like, before you're a fighter, you're an entertainer. Like, you got to make people hate you or love you, and you got to back it up in the cage.
And that's why I keep telling you, Jimmy, you can't be an MMA fighter, because you want to lay on guys and make love to them.
Right.
And that obviously doesn't work.
Really?
There is a profession for that, though, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I don't know. We might have to hit it next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do it next week.
We're at like 2 minutes right now.
Yeah.
We might have to hit it. Really quickly, because we only have a few more minutes with Cody here, UFC besides Darren, who do you like out there right now? Who's a beast? Who do you follow?
I really like watching TJ Dillashaw fight because you know I've worked with him, I've sparred with him and stuff, and he's kind of he's one of those guys that's like an innovator. He's doing things that no one else is doing. His style, like the way he fights, is completely different. You know, if you watch him fight, his footwork, the things he's doing are awkward, and no one else can mimic it. And that's, you know, he's kind of one of those guys. He's like a Muhammad Ali, or you know, somebody that is like changing the sport. You know, people are gonna like follow his blueprint, and he's gonna like revolutionize MMA. You know, and I like watching guys like that aren't, you know, don't do things by the book. So yeah, I like TJ.
I don't know, are you 100% focused on MMA or any other sports get your eye? Because I've seen you in a boxing ring. I mean, are those days done?
You know, I'll do just about anything for money, but... no, I mean, yeah.
Anything?
MMA. I mean...
Cratch rackets.
How much you got?
I'm just saying, I could take up a collection.
Go start a GoFundMe.
I'm doing that right now.
Yeah.
But so it's MMA right now. A boxing offer comes along, would you take it?
Yeah, I mean, if it was lucrative, I might do it, and I had time to train for it. But no, MMA is my primary focus.
Well, give a shout out to your sponsors and everything before your fight. We're going to be following it from a distance because we won't be in Indiana with you. But give a shout out to your sponsors.
Top Team, GRMA, Triumph, Frank Pitino. He's always been good to me. Dr. Stopa. My chiropractor, also very good to me. Metro Kale, Vengeance Fight Gear. Jeez, there we go. Sorry if I forgot you. You gave me money. Whoops. You know, all my training partners. You know, there's a lot of great people. You guys for having me on, helping me, you know, promote myself a little bit. Yeah, I mean, all my training partners. There's so many people I can thank. Because you know, I might go in there alone, but man, you need a good support system and a lot of people on your side, you know, for this to be an enjoyable experience. Because I'm telling you, going in there and getting beaten up isn't really all that fun, you know, unless you have people that you know you care about and care about you and want to see you do well. So
there's so many people that shouldn't be fighting in MMA Michigan that there's probably even a Hallmark card that "Sorry, I forgot you" as a sponsor card. So you can just pick that up. I mean, there's so many. Like, it's like I run into everybody every day, and they're just like, "Oh, I fought MMA." I'm like, come on. Like, it's like, you know. But, Cody, we want to thank you for coming in. Cody Stamen, best of luck here on the 24th of October. Is that correct?
24th of October.
All right. We want to thank Top Rope Review. Thank you so much for joining us. We want to thank The Rack Show. 313 Paranormal, you'll be back next week, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Liz for ring girling, rocking the Tomb Raider outfit for you guys. Just for you. That's how much we love you. Tracy for being here. Marv, Jimmy, Rochelle for running the board. We want to thank everybody. But 313 Paranormal, Cody, you guys, The Rack Show, Top Rope Review. We thank everybody. We'll be back next week with 313 Paranormal. We didn't get a chance to run through our list. Gennady Golovkin is fighting David Lemieux. We had such good guests. I didn't get to give my prediction, but we're going to go Golovkin for this. We'll end by knockout. We'll end by the fourth or fifth round. So Golovkin's the way to go for everyone that listens for the bet picks. Thank you very much. See everyone soon.
See ya.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.